Venerable religious and dear parishioners, one of the phrases that was coming to my mind this past week as I look forward to preparing for the sermon on Sunday is report card. And the time is coming in a couple of weeks or more that the students will receive their final report card for the year. And of course, they've been getting report cards for the first, second, and third quarter. And report cards show them and show their parents exactly where they stand. The school also gets a report card. This is why we take the Stanford Achievement Tests every year. It's a report card for us teachers, you might say. And we are happy to share the results with you. I took a quick glance at the Stanford achievement grades this year, and generally speaking, we are on grade level or above. There are a few exceptions, I think, but we will post those. It's for everybody to see. And it also occurred to me that often in job situations, you get a report card too. You get that dreaded performance review. You're called into the office, or maybe you get a report in the mail. And it says how well you are doing in your work. And generally speaking, whether one is a student, a teacher, a worker, you know, generally speaking, how well you're doing. And sometimes, however, the report is shocking. It's quite different from what you had expected. And this, of course, causes difficulty. And then you go to the teacher, say, why is it so far from what I thought I was doing? Or if it's the laborer who's getting a performance review, the employer will say, well, I'll show you here the documentation here. Point one, point two, point three. So, as I said, it's generally something we're not surprised about, but sometimes it is shocking. Well, there was a report card on the Modern Church of Vatican II this past week, and it is shocking. The country of Ireland, 87% Catholic, nominally speaking, voted this past Friday to institutionalize by constitutional amendment and by popular referendum, institutionalize the perversion of unnatural marriage. You've probably been seeing that in the news. I have to admit, I was very dismayed, but I'm not surprised. I mean, there's the report card. You know, Vatican II is supposed to be a new Pentecost, a new burst of revival. And yet, this is the first time in history. It's never happened before in history, not even when we look at the pagan Roman Empire, or we look at barbarian nations or other what we consider, you know, backward civilizations. Never has unnatural marriage been institutionalized by constitutional referendum. And 87% population is Catholic. So at least that's what the numbers say. And it was almost 2-1. This vote this past Friday. Is that a renewal? What they voted for was behaviors that send people to hell. Let's review, and I know there's children here, but you know I'm still going to be careful, but we need to be aware of what Holy Scripture teaches. This is St. Paul's letter to the Romans. chapter 1. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of the image of a corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed beasts and of creeping things. He's talking about the idolaters. Wherefore God gave them up to the desires of their heart, unto uncleanness, to dishonor their own bodies among themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God delivered them up to shameful affections, for their women have changed the natural use into that use which is against nature. And in like manner, the men also, having the natural use of the women, have burned in their lusts one towards another, men with men working that which is filthy, and receiving in themselves the recompense which was due to their error. And as they liked not to have God in their knowledge, God delivered them up to a reprobate sense to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all iniquity, malice, fornication, avarice, wickedness, full of envy, murder, contention, deceit, malignity, whisperers. You could say, I rest my case. By the way, was there a single word from the Vatican urging Irish Catholics to vote for God's law? Not a word. And even now, to my knowledge, not a word. Makes you wonder how much they are part of the homosexual agenda. My dear brethren, this is not a Pentecost. A Pentecost is the triumph of grace over sin. That's when we know there's a true Pentecost going on, when there's prayer, when there's penance, when there's conversion, when there's fervor, when there are more vocations to the priesthood and the religious life, and solid Catholic, fervent Catholic living of the faith in homes. That's Pentecost. That's what the apostles experienced. It was a triumph of grace over sin. And right now, sin is triumphing. Next month, I think it's going to happen in our country. Not by referendum. I expect, with the way things are in our society, our Supreme Court will say, yes, it's a constitutional right. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Catholic faith. Look at what happens when the world rejects the traditional Catholic faith. It sinks lower and lower into iniquity. So let's remember what a true Pentecost is. It's God's will being done. When God's commandments are obeyed. You see, this is the fundamental problem with our nature. We do not want to do God's will. We want to do it our own way. It happened with Lucifer. I will not serve. I want to follow my own laws. And the filthy snake and all of his fellow fallen angels were cast into hell. And then our first parents, remember what the serpent said to Eve, you will know things that only God knows if you eat this fruit. And she and Adam both ate. They also rebelled against God. Did not want to follow God's plan, wanted to follow their own plan. And let's turn the report card now on ourselves, my dear brethren, because other than prayer and penance and giving the good example, we can't fix things out there, but let's, what can we fix in ourselves? Well, there is a report card for us too. It's called the Fruits of the Holy Ghost. Charity, joy, peace, patience, benignity, goodness, faith, mildness, and temperance. That's when you have nine. When the 12 are stated, which is a fuller statement, it includes modesty, continency, and chastity. So there is our report card, and I would urge you to look at those fruits of the Holy Ghost. It won't be as clear a percentage. It won't be like, okay, you have a C+ in charity, and you have an A- in joy, and a C- in peace. But we'll have to go on our, you know, just a good examination of conscience. But let's ask ourselves, I mean, this is the report card. How much of this fruit do we have in our lives? How much charity do you have? How attentive are you to the spiritual and temporal needs of others? There's your report card on charity. Joy. You know, joy is a hard one to have when trials and tribulations and dismaying things happen. I don't think I was doing very well on this one last couple of days. But you look at the early Christians, even when they were being slaughtered by the millions, they were joyful. And when they went to their martyrdoms, they were going to the finest feast imaginable. They had joy. Peace. How are you unsettled inside? Maybe you know, if that's a way that you often are, then you need to pray for more of this fruit in your life. Patience. How do you deal with frustration? Ah, there's the test. There's the report card. Benignity and goodness, our willingness to extend good deeds to others. Faith. How strongly does faith influence our daily lives? We know that we are indeed failing in faith if our Catholic values do not influence our daily actions. Not just when we're at church, but throughout the week, throughout the day. Mildness, that goes along with patience. Temperance, or to put it, modesty, continency, and chastity. How pure are you? How quickly do you turn your eyes away from occasions of sin? How well do you stay out of occasions of sin? Do you live a double standard when it comes to modesty? Dressing modestly for church, and then when other Catholics aren't around, dressing immodestly. You're failing on that report card. Again, it's the faith is something that has to inform our entire lives. So let us look at ourselves as we honor the Holy Ghost today and pray for an increase in His gifts. And I'm sure, and common sense can tell us, you know, which gift do I need more to help me have more of this fruit? And these fruits are listed by St. Paul, by the way, in Galatians. And he says they are the fruits of the Spirit. So the Catholic Church always reminds us what they're about. And it's evidence of the Holy Ghost working in us. And just to make a quick distinction between that and virtue, the fruits are the ones that are done under an impulse of the Holy Ghost. So when we look at these fruits in our souls, in our lives, we're also seeing how much is the Holy Ghost guiding us along and making these things happen in our lives. Remember, He lives in our soul as a dweller within a temple. And as long as mortal sin doesn't drive Him out, He is there. And cultivate that devotion to Him. He's you have His soul, which you can't see, and He's the soul within your soul. He's also the soul of the church. He is a pure spirit. And even though, as I said, the report card is so dismal, nevertheless, remember, there have been times like this before. And the Holy Ghost renewed the face of the earth. Let us keep going to Him through that most powerful intercessor is Mary, and ask him to renew our souls through his indwelling. And the more he will renew our souls, the more we can help renew this fallen and sinful world. We can be part of the real Pentecost, a greater love, a true love of God and of neighbor. May that ever grow more in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.